are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Brian Peacock. Thanks, everybody, for joining me today on this Rapid React Monday. Going to break down everything I saw from the first watch of the 49ers in Washington. Off to an 0-6 start, obviously. A historic start because of the way that the 49ers are losing right now. Crazy. Fifth straight loss of 3 points or less. Never happened before in the history of the NFL. It only happened one other time when the 49ers had lost four games with a grand total of 11 points difference. So, a crazy start to the season for the 49ers. So when games are tight, then there's obviously some good and bad. The 49ers have not been able to make the small plays and do the small things that it takes to win football games. But a big change happened in this game. New quarterback for the 49ers. We're going to get into all of that in a little bit. I would like to remind everybody to follow me on Twitter at BDPeacock. Email the show, LockedOn49ers at Gmail. You can go to LockedOn49ers for all your needs, links to all the ways to subscribe. You can subscribe in all the usual places on iTunes, Google Play. We're on Spotify, which is awesome. Not a lot of podcasts are able to get onto Spotify. So the Locked On Podcast Network doing a lot of big things. If you were a listener on Audio Boom, you can no longer find the podcast on Audio Boom because we have a new host. The network is now on the Pelepany platform, and they use Megaphone as the host, so you can find it through Megaphone, but really just all the normal ways you could find the podcast aside from Audio Boom, you can still find it. If your feed is not working and not updating, you might have to manually update using the new RSS feed. You can find the links to all that at LockedOn49ers.com. Just go to the little Megaphone player there and then click on the subscribe button, and you can find all the things you need and all the ways to subscribe to the show. All right, let's get to it. I'll start with the game notes as I go through the game, as I usually do, just taking notes throughout the whole contest. And then at the end, I'll give out some game balls and talk about some things that the 49ers can work on. So let's start in the first quarter. Let's start with the actives and inactives, which was a slight disappointment before the game when it was announced that there would be no Reuben Foster. You know, smart move in reality, but, really wanted to see number 56 out there, and obviously no Bowman either. So linebacker was going to be a little bit of a challenge. Two players like Navarro Bowman and Reuben Foster in the middle of the defense. No fullback at all with Kyle Juszczyk out. Eric Reed was active, but sort of limited. He only got in for dime work. Jaquaski Tartt got the start at strong safety. Jimmy Ward starting at free safety. Both those guys playing pretty well. A little bit of a logjam at the safety position when that was a position we weren't sure about coming into the season with the new scheme. Washington came out blazing like Wink predicted on the show last Wednesday. Lots of Chris Thompson on the opening drive in this one for Washington. Armstead fails to hold the edge on a play after last week. Robert Saleh cannot be happy about seeing that on the opening drive. Armstead did clean it up, though, and did play pretty well before he left the game, actually, with an injury. Kirk Cousins to Josh Doctson for an 11-yard touchdown to end that first drive, lined up in the slot versus Kwaski Tartt, ran a little slant. Easy pitch and catch there, and really that whole drive was way too easy for Washington. And the first drives, the 49ers defense have not been great this season, and they do a pretty good job of buckling down after that, as they also did in this game. As good as Tartt has played, that's a mismatch, getting a wide receiver on your strong safety in the slot with a two-way go in the red zone. So 7-0 to start the game there after the first drive. 8 plays, 75 yards. Cousins was 4-for-4 on that drive. 4 runs, 4 passes. 2 of those passes to running back, so very heavily. Both teams are really throwing a lot of short passes. Most of the big plays came on catch and runs. Not a lot of air yards in this ball game, and definitely wasn't the case on that first drive for Kirk Cousins and the Redskins, including a 23-yarder to Thompson out of the backfield. And to be honest with you, I'm surprised they didn't go to Thompson more in this game out of the backfield. He ended up catching only 4 passes. We'll get to more of that. Niners open up with an end around to Marquise Goodwin, so showing a little misdirection to start the game. A first down conversion on an incomplete pass to Hyde, but defensive holding got them to keep the chains moving. Hyde loses 2 yards on first and 10. Hoyer hits Kittle for 5 yards when it was third down at 12. So a pass short of the sticks, which is also a theme right now with this team in this game. 49ers would settle for a punt, and then a lot of punts. 5 straight punts on drives. Niners D tightened up there, forces Washington to punt on a 3-and-out. On their second drive, Solomon Thomas getting some pressure. Cousins 0 for 2 after being perfect on the first drive. The Niners' second drive starts with a false start from Trent Brown. Puts the 49ers in a hole. Hyde for 7 yards. Then Garrett Celek drops a potential first down pass. Drops, again, a big key. When Hoyer does make a throw, his receivers just were letting him down, and they have been all season. Way too many drops. All the receivers have been getting involved with drops, really with the exception of Pierre Garçon. So another punt, three and out. Cousins makes a pair of first down throws. They start driving again. Salas Ben don't break. D holds up, though, and tightens up. Tart makes a nice stop on third and short on a run play to force a punt. Niners get the ball back, start from the 13-yard line. Washington brings a blitz. Hoyer hit, ruled a fumble on the field. A return for a touchdown by Washington, but that was definitely a forward pass and reviewed and overturned, so they ended up getting that call correct. That brought up second down, Hyde for 4 yards, and then here we go, third down and six. What are they going to do? Hoyer looks for his third down whoopee, which is Trent Taylor, but a 1 yard pass on third and six, and that's not, if my math is correct, that is not enough to get a first down, and yes, well short of the sticks. Hoyer had completed two passes so far in the game at that point, both on third down and both short of the sticks on third down, forcing a punt, and that was the fifth straight punt after that opening Washington drive by both teams combined. So getting into the second quarter, Washington on the move again. Night and day watching those two offenses at this point in the game. It just was not moving under Hoyer, and I think Kyle Shanahan definitely noticed that because things would change for the 49ers in the second quarter. A couple more first down throws from Cousins on this drive, spreading the ball around. Armstead makes a nice play for a loss on a toss play to Chris Thompson. The defense's left side, Eric Armstead, definitely had contain on that play. Eric Reed in the game and gets beat on a third and nine by Jordan Reed for a first down. Solomon Thomas dropping into coverage on this play. So Robert Saleh getting inventive and trying a lot of different things in this game. Earl Mitchell later in this drive ended up being in coverage, which is not an ideal situation. Solomon Thomas at least has some athleticism, ran a 4.6 at the combine. Earl Mitchell's your nose tackle. You don't usually want him in coverage. Maybe he's trying to confuse things, make things a little bit more difficult to read for Kirk Cousins, especially with all the short passes they were throwing. Saleh throwing the kitchen sink at Cousins, but not really helping to this point. Cousins then has the ball at the 5-yard line. All kinds of time, goes through about four reads and finds Samaje Perine, the rookie running back for Washington, out of the backfield for the touchdown. 14 to nothing at that point. And at that point of the game, Kirk Cousins, 12 of 15 for 120 yards and two touchdowns. Brian Hoyer, 2 of 5 for 6 yards, including a drop. That was a stark contrast between the two quarterbacks at that point, early, mid-second quarter. And at that point, I tweeted out, hey, 49ers fans, don't worry. It will be a lot of fun watching Reuben Foster and C.J. Beathard next week. I didn't know how right I was about especially the second part. So next drive, misdirection, incomplete. They kind of faked that end around they showed on the first play, tried to throw out of it, still did not work. Took a deep shot for Garçon down the left sideline, incomplete. Then Hoyer, best play he had in this day. Hoyer buys some time in the pocket, finds Aldrick Robinson, who goes up to get it for a first down conversion, 21 yards, biggest play of the game so far for San Francisco at that point. Hoyer to Goodwin, another drop from Goodwin, a would-be first down. Trent Brown, another false start, couple of false starts for him, not Trent Brown's best day when it comes to penalties, and really penalties has been a key along with drops for the 49ers all season long. That's something they got to tighten up if they want to win some football games going forward. So that sets up a second and 15. Hoyer then terribly overthrows Pierre Garçon, third and 15. Goodwin, well short of the stakes again, completed pass, and then another punt. So at this point, San Francisco, 4 possessions, 2 first downs total, 39 total yards, and 4 punts. So Washington would get the ball back. And wow, Jimmy Ward, a diving interception. Fantastic play by him. Deep down the middle of the field, was overturned. Knows the ball did touch the ground as he was going to the ground. So still a great play by Jimmy Ward, but that was the correct call. This officiating crew getting things right. At this point, they would... that would be in question later in the game. So Cousins dials up another deep shot. They decided to go deep a couple times here on this drive for whatever reason. They were really kind of dinking and dunking early, and that was working. This time they go for Vernon Davis. Cousins was hit as he threw. Rashard Robinson makes the catch on the interception, a well-overthrown ball. He was covered. I'm not sure what Cousins was looking at. I think maybe just the pressure. He decided to just, whatever, throw one of those YOLO balls up and chuck it deep to Vernon Davis. Rashard Robinson, the big story of this is that he caught the ball. So maybe he's been hitting the jugs machine at practice. Interception down the right sideline. Not sure what was going on in either one of those throws by Cousins. Neither deep ball was really close. Both of them were closer to 49ers' hands than Washington Redskins' hands. And that would end that drive. And that would be the end, well, the end of the Hoyer era had already ended in the previous drive, although nobody knew about it except for the coaching staff. And it would be C.J. Beathard time. and Matt Breida also coming in at running back, and promptly two drops for C.J. Beathard. So Brian Hoyer's probably standing on the sideline just kind of laughing under his breath maybe. He's like, hey, C.J., it ain't that easy when guys are dropping passes all the time. Breida had a tough catch at his feet. That was more on Beathard kind of throwing it at his feet. Tough play as he was running away from him on a dump off. And then Kittle, good throw on an out. First down play would have been a first down play. Kittle flat out drops it, and that leads to a punt on C.J.'s first drive. And then Chris Thompson breaks a dump off for 49 yards, putting Washington in field goal range. They would make that field goal, going up 17-0. And the game, at this point, that's the line. 17-0, all of a sudden, this would change. And C.J. Beathard absolutely was a spark for this team. And he wasn't perfect, and he wasn't really necessarily on target the whole game. Some balls definitely floated out of his hands. But drive number two, Beathard really started to get going in the 49ers offense. And the defense actually started playing a heck of a lot better from this point as well. Beathard buys time, throws high for Taylor, moves the sticks on two consecutive throws after that to Goodwin and a 31-yarder to George Kittle. Both throws a little wobbly, a little high. Beathard throwing some ducks for sure at this point, but moving the ball. Kittle, another drop. Third drop by tight ends in this game at that point. Beathard gets crushed on the next play, leaves the pocket, and just runs right into his sack. I'm not sure what he saw there. So some pocket awareness for him, holding the ball too long sometimes, and then that time just running into pressure. Third and 10 from the 13-yard line. So we've gotten the ball all the way down to Washington 13. Beathard to Garcon underneath. Garcon runs over Dante Nicholson, whose helmet flies off. And it's kind of a scary moment because he was in major pain. He was down for a while. Did not look good, but DJ Swearinger did the 49ers a favor because he was short of the sticks on that third down throw. Swearinger got in Garcon's face, pushed him a little bit. They got into it, and that would be a penalty and give the 49ers a first down. And out of that penalty play and all that time when the player was down on the field, the 49ers come out of that with tons of time to get a play going, and they get a delay of game, which is that's a rookie quarterback mistake there, and maybe a little bit on Kyle Shanahan getting the play in late. I'm not sure, but after all that time, inexcusable to have a delay of game on that play. So takes him from the 2-yard line back to the 7, still first and goal from the 7-yard line. Beathard looks for Kittle in the end zone, makes the throw, definitely a PI. That was a no-call PI, and this is where some the referees started to play a factor in this game, and definitely from here on out, there were some bad calls, and man, PI has been something that's been haunting the 49ers, no calls and bad calls on this season. Second goal from the 7, Beathard holds onto the ball a little bit too long, slightly worried about Beathard's internal clock here. He gets hit as he throws, incomplete, and that's not only does it lead to sacks, but it can lead to turnovers too. When you're holding on to the ball too long in the pocket, someone coming from around from behind and hits you while you're throwing or strip the ball or something like that. And that play, he got hit while he threw. Ball just floats into the middle of the end zone. Luckily, nobody was there on the other team to pick that ball off. But those are dangerous plays. So Beathard's got to clean that up a little bit along with the accuracy stuff. And it might have been just a little bit of nerves from his first game in the NFL. Beathard, though, to Kittle. Down to the 1-yard line, 4th and goal. 3 seconds left in the half. You got to go for it. You're down 17 points here. So they give it to Carlos Hyde. Runs it in for the touchdown. 49ers 17-7 going in a half. Big 7 points there. And a long 11-play, 75-yard drive. They got helped out a little bit by Washington on that drive. But really cool to see them put together a long drive, march down the field. The second drive of C.J. Beathard's career was a pretty good one. Ended in 7 points, something Hoyer had been really not been able to do so far this season through 5-plus games. Through two drives, the scouting report on C.J. Beathard. They move the ball. The 49ers are moving the ball, putting points on the board. A touchdown. Wow, okay. That's a good thing. Thumbs up there. Threw some ducks for sure. Ball coming out a little bit high, a little bit wobbly, some accuracy issues. So he definitely wasn't perfect, but the 49ers are moving the ball, which is a huge key. And he needed to speed up the internal clock. It's obviously you don't want to get sacked, lead to turnovers, but he's got toughness. So he'll hang in the pocket, which is the good side of that internal clock because he's not, you know, he's not afraid to be hit, and he's not worried about the pass rush, but maybe sometimes he should be a little bit more worried about the pass rush. But that toughness is one of the things, and the number one thing that Kyle Shanahan talked about C.J. Beathard after they drafted him in the 3rd round. So let's move on to the second half. Kyle dialing up some short passes for Beathard here. I think it was a smart move, sort of trying to get him into a rhythm to start the second half. Pair of dump offs to Hyde. Offense moving the ball, which they weren't doing under Hoyer. Again, a key, moving the ball, points on the board, and they would continue this comeback attempt in the second half. The defense did well to help that as well, not only just Beathard and the spark he provided on offense. 49ers moving the ball to midfield. Breida converts a 3rd and 1, running tough up the gut. Breida makes a nice catch on the sideline on the next play. Breida really getting going here, runs for a 10-yard gain off right tackle. So you got a first and 10. They try for a shot play. Beathard looking deep, but again, holds the ball too long in the pocket, takes a sack. So now you're at second and 20. And a sack on first down really kills the momentum of your drive there. Dump off to Hyde for 7 yards, third and 13. Beathard looking for Taylor. Again, Taylor gets heavily targeted on third down on this team right now. And just like Hoyer was targeting Taylor. So I think that's more Kyle Shanahan than Beathard or Hoyer as far as dialing up plays to Taylor on third down. Ball thrown behind him, short of the sticks anyways, which is another key to these quarterbacks on third down, is they don't like throwing the ball past the first down marker. So that would set up a 52-yard field goal for Robbie Gould, who, and I definitely jinxed him because in my notes I write, who apparently doesn't miss, 32 straight, 17-10 Niners, and guess what happens? He would miss. So totally jinxed Gould. He did miss his next field goal attempt. So 17-10, and that defense coming up big that I talked about. Jimmy Ward making a huge play, picks up a Vernon Davis fumble, takes it all the way down to the, well, he was marked out of bounds, I think, at the 1.5-yard line, but I thought he got it in the end zone initially. They reviewed the play, and the play would stand as called on the field. I think he was down. I don't know if they thought that was inconclusive. I thought there was enough evidence to show that Vernon Davis was actually down before that that ball was pulled out by Ray Armstrong. But a big play for the Niners there. They get the ball at the 1.5-yard line. Hyde plunges it into the end zone. Tie game, 17-17, something I thought was unthinkable when Washington went up 14-0 and 17-0, but 17 unanswered points after C.J. Beathard entered that ballgame. And it seemed, though, something on the sideline changed. You know, Beathard's obviously an offensive player, and he wasn't just lights out throwing darts everywhere, throwing a ton of touchdown passes, but it seemed like the defense got picked up from the change as well. Just the whole vibe of that game changed after Beathard entered at quarterback. Which brings us to the fourth quarter, tie game. And here you go, Chris Thompson, another catch for Washington. They're getting smart, giving it back to Chris Thompson in space, trying to let him run around and try to make things difficult for that depleted linebacker core, the 49ers. The 49ers, it was clear, could not cover Thompson out of the backfield. He already had 105 receiving yards at that point on only 4 catches. They really should have fed him more and just continued to feed him out of the backfield. So bend don't break again for Robert Saleh's squad on defense. Washington drives all the way down the field. First and goal inside the 10-yard line. Cousins zone read. He keeps it, takes it to the 5. Solomon Thomas with the goal line stuff. Dante Johnson comes up with a huge play on third down. Pass breakup, diving to knock the ball away from Josh Doctson in the end zone. They would settle for a field goal, 20-17 Washington. I was thinking at this point, the 49ers aren't actually going to win this game, are they? Are they going to pull this out? Garcon, one-handed catch. There's a slant route thrown behind him. That's a first down catch, very good catch by Pierre Garcon to haul that one in. A deep out on the far sideline, again, underthrown, almost picked off. Beathard was fading away versus pressure, almost got it picked off. Third and 5, again, pressure, deep ball, way out of bounds, and the 49ers would punt. Tart down on the field after a long catch and run by Vernon Davis, and it looked like he was hurt pretty bad. It turns out I don't think it was very serious. Ray Armstrong on this play looked lost in coverage. He was chasing after Vernon Davis. He was wide open. I have no idea what happened, sort of a defensive breakdown on that play. Armstrong was hurt and came back and will leave again on the next play. So a couple of injuries in a row. Newly signed linebacker Elijah Lee would come in when Ray would leave the game. First and 10 for Washington on the 20-yard line after that big Vernon Davis catch and run. Cousins misses Terrell Pryor, who had been pretty quiet to this point in the game. He had a fade route in the end zone, had a step. He was open in the end zone, ball thrown out of bounds of the end zone. Cousins to Ryan Grant for a first down, though, on the next play. He ran a hook route on Kwon Williams. Kwon was close, but Cousins really dialed up a fastball, threw that one in there. Earl Mitchell blows up a Chris Thompson run for a loss of 1 yard. Kirk Cousins trying to slam the door on this 49ers comeback, pulls the ball down on a zone read. Again, another zone read in the end zone. We saw him do this last time down there. Takes it in for 6 points. Made Solomon Thomas look bad on that one. Thomas had contain on that play. He bit hard on the running back fake. Hopkins, though, misses the extra point, leaving the door cracked open for the 49ers. 26-17, 9-point lead. The line was 10, so I think a lot of the bettors were probably freaking out at this point as well, because that should that extra point should have put Washington up by 10. Instead, it's 9-2. 3:30 left for the 49ers to do something. Down 2 scores, only 9 points instead of 10. 49ers go to the hurry-up offense. C.J. Beathard scrambles for a first down. A reminder that he can move a little bit. Beathard buys some time in the next play, finds Aldrick Robinson wide open. He stepped up, kept his eyes down the field. Aldrick Robinson just was uncovered completely on the play. A total breakdown by the Washington defense. He catches the ball, makes a little move at the goal line for the touchdown. Nobody covered him at all out of the slot, around deep down the right sideline out of the slot. And I think it was Fabian Moreau was a little bit confused on what to do there as the left cornerback. And the safety was way late coming over the top. And congratulations to C.J. Beathard, by the way, on his first NFL touchdown. 24-26, 49ers down by two. Two-minute warning, 49ers have to go for the onside kick here with only two timeouts and one first down from Washington, and the game would be over. 49ers cannot get the onside kick. Niners, though, do stop Washington, burn those two timeouts, and that would leave them with just under a minute, enough time to take the punt and try to roll down the field. And they only have to get in a field goal range. Remember, they're only down by 2 points at this point. So a touchback, not a great punt by Washington there. 49ers get to take the ball out at the 20. Beathard to Garcon down the sideline, 22 yards. Washington playing very soft here and surprisingly just completely giving them not only 22 yards of that pass, but giving them a free shot to get out of bounds after the catch. So perfect play there from Beathard to Garcon. That's exactly what you need in that situation. Dump off to Carlos Hyde for 6 yards, gets out of bounds, 41 seconds left on the clock. Thrown away out of bounds on an out route to Trent Taylor. That one was not close, but, you know, stops the clock again on the incomplete pass. Much better there than you got to make a quick read, make a throw. Throwing out of bounds better than taking a sack or something like that, or throwing it somewhere in the middle of the field where you got to go spike the ball and waste it down. Garcon makes a ridiculous catch on the sideline off of a deflection. Ruled incomplete, but, man, he caught that. That was crazy. Awesome concentration by Garcon, who's been fantastic so far for the 49ers. Really bright spot on the offense. They would review the play, and it was ruled a catch. And so they're in business. 28 seconds left. First and 10 from the Redskins' 41-yard line. They're in field goal range. Would be a 58-yarder, which in turn is Gould's career long. So would like to get a little bit closer. Incomplete pass to Garcon. Beathard getting tunnel vision now on Garcon. Second and 10 with 23 seconds left. Tries to force it in there. Almost picked off. And this is, again, the game ends on a frustrating pass interference call, offensive pass interference call on the 49ers, just as it did a few weeks ago on Trent Taylor, this time on Garcon. They called him for the pick. He was running a slant. The inside receiver was running a flat route, and that penalty puts the 49ers out of field goal range. Tough penalty. I understand why they call it, and I think the rule of the law is that they have to call that play because it looks like a pick play, but I don't think the 49ers intended it to be. Otherwise, the ball would have gone out to the flats, and it still should have. Beathard forced that ball into Garcon, who's running the slant, but he makes contact with the guy who's covering the slot receiver. And I'm drawing a blank. I don't even remember who that was. He was running the flat route. So he hits Garcon. They throw the flag there. Even if it wasn't a pick play, Beathard should have been throwing the out anyways because the flat route is the route that became open, which is what the idea would have been if it was a pick play. But obviously, he's throwing the slant there, so it's obviously not a designed pick play, or else he would have just gone automatically to that person who was running the flat route. But anyways, frustrating call. I know Garcon didn't like it. He's kind of said it without saying it after the game, and I know Kyle Shanahan didn't like the call. I understand why they called it. I hate the call personally. Not nearly as bad as the Trent Taylor call against the Rams, though, in my opinion, but still frustrating nonetheless. But I get why they call it, and if it's, you know, past that 1.5-2 yard mark where you're not able to make contact with the guys, it's just frustrating for the 49ers. But 19 seconds left, second 20 now from the 51, incomplete to Carlos Hyde. 15 seconds left, third and 20 from the 51. It looks deep for Garcon, no dice there. And fourth and 20, 9 seconds left, and then desperation heave. He tries to find a receiver on the sideline, near the sticks, interception. Kendall Fuller picks the ball off, and that would seal the victory for Washington and seal the fifth straight loss for the 49ers of 3 points or less. Never happened in the history of the league. Kyle Shanahan, rookie head coach, still winless. No W's on head coach Kyle Shanahan's resume as the 49ers head into week 7. So let's give away some game balls. C.J. Beathard, starting quarterback, San Francisco 49ers. Kyle said after the game, it's Beathard's show from here on out. Absolutely gets a game ball here. Provided a spark, it was a workable offense. It was an offense that moved. It was an offense that scored. And like I said before, it wasn't perfect. The scouting report on C.J. Beathard, threw some ducks, ball coming out a little bit high, a little bit floaty, needs to speed up his internal clock, but move the ball, put points on the board, game ball, C.J. Beathard almost bringing that team back for the W. Game balls to Jaquaski Tart and Jimmy Ward both had good games. The high school teammates look like a really, really good safety duo. I mean, not just like an okay, but a really good safety duo, and both fit this scheme really well. It makes you think that Eric Reed, who's in the last year of his contract, might be someone that the 49ers would listen to trade offers for as the trade deadline comes. And maybe because of those two players, Reed isn't someone that the 49ers are going to re-sign. So what needs work? What can the 49ers build on here? Number one, penalties. Just way too many penalties. I think they're the most penalized team in the league right now. You can't win games doing that. But luckily, that's not even a personnel thing. It's a coaching thing. It's something that they can absolutely fix, and it would be a huge thing for wins going forward, whether it's 2017, 2018, 19, and beyond. They got to clean up the penalties. The receivers. Somebody has to help Pierre Garçon, man. I mean, Pierre's absolutely balling out. Everyone else is just dropping balls left and right. And you see some flashes from guys, Trent Taylor and George Kittle, and I think you can build on that, and those guys can develop, but way too many drops. Got to help out your quarterback. As expected, with Bowman gone and Foster out, they had trouble covering running backs and tight ends in this game, and Ray Ray also banged up, which didn't help. Foster should repair a lot of that himself starting in week 7. Can't wait to watch him on the field. And the second most missed tackles in the NFL this season by the 49ers. So those are things that they got to clean up on the defensive side of the ball. And still needs work. C.J. Beathard got a game ball, but hey, C.J. still has some work cut out for him here. You got 10 weeks to prove that you're a starting quarterback in the NFL, because this is a big offseason coming up for the 49ers, and quarterback is going to be none bigger the position there that they're looking at. So something to build on for sure for the rookie. Some things to clean up as well. C.J. Beathard has 10 weeks to prove it. All right, that's going to do it for me. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Be back tomorrow here on Locked On 49ers. Follow me on Twitter at BDPeacock. Email the show. Any questions or comments, LockedOn49ers@gmail.com. Probably do a mailbag segment for Tuesday. Don't have any guests lined up. I do want to have a guest at some point this week. I'm waiting for someone to do a film room article on C.J. Beathard and his performance in Washington. A different take, a different set of eyes than mine. And I want to invite that writer on the show. So maybe that'll be for Thursday's show. Of course, going to have a Winky Wednesday coming up. And I want to do a new segment. I want to have this as part of the mailbag for Tuesday's show. So yeah, feel free to get any of your questions in, either Twitter, email, Facebook, wherever. But I want to do a segment called Overrated, Underrated, where you give me a topic and I tell you if I think it's overrated, underrated, or why. And it doesn't have to be even 49ers or just NFL related. Have some fun with it. So drop me some overrated, underrated questions, and I want to put some out as well to those of you on Twitter. So I think that'll be a fun segment. So if you have any questions, 49ers related, whatever, get those mailbag questions in, and any overrated, underrated topics, I think that would be a fun little segment. Subscribe on iTunes. Enter the PFF giveaway by rating and reviewing on iTunes. We are streaming everywhere. You can head on over to LockedOn49ers.com. Find the stream and find ways to subscribe. Talk to you guys tomorrow right here on Locked On 49ers.